How's everybody tonight? Good? Don't worry about what's going on outside these doors. We're going to focus on the Lord, right? Don't have to worry about it anymore. We just spend time with the Lord. I have one announcement for Wednesday night. You guys need to, I'm going to be announcing this over the next few weeks. The Martin Center is going to have a arts and crafts show, I think it is, or no, a concert. They're having a concert here, a fundraising concert, on Wednesday, June 29th. So we will not be having a church service. There won't be any youth on Wednesday the 29th here at the Martin Center. So just kind of store that in the back of your minds, put it on your calendars. Unfortunately, we won't be able to participate here on that Wednesday night. So you get a night off, you know? I get a night off. That's right. Open your Bibles with me to Exodus chapter 17. We are picking up in verse 8. Does anybody need a Bible? We got a couple we need. We got some Bibles for you. Exodus 17. We'll pick up in verse 8 where we left off the last time. Who was here last week for the night of worship? Let's see a hand, show of hands. Did you like that? Yes? Yeah. I'm sorry I missed it. I love those times to worship. And tonight I was ready to tell you to just keep on going. It's like, oh, just love to worship the Lord. We love to do that, and so every time, now and again, we will participate in those times. You know, it's a time for God to move in our hearts, which is every service, but it's a time for us to really receive the Spirit of God and exercise the gifts, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, just to encourage the body of Christ, because that's what God wants to do. He wants to be involved in our lives on a day-to-day basis. So we want to give him those opportunities to speak to us, as he always does. Before we get started, let's pray one more time, if you will. Father, we thank you for your word here tonight. And God, I pray that our eyes would be open to see the things you want us to see, that our hearts would be open to receive the things you want us to receive. Lord, that we would leave this place changed, that we would leave this place knowing that the Word of God has spoken to us and has given us instructions and encouragement and even sometimes correction. Lord, that you would increase our faith, that you would increase our hope. Lord, it's very clear. The signs are very clear. Your return is imminent. You are going to come back for us soon. And so, God, we pray that we would be a people that are ready to receive you, Lord, that you will take us home to be with you. So as we study, teach us, God, that we would be strong Christians that not only know the word in our minds, but know the word in our hearts and live it out each and every day. We love you and we thank you for this time. Bless it, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Troubles come, and thankfully, troubles go. I don't know about you, but I can look back on my past and kind of see some seasons where things were difficult. You know, there were some struggles. There were some times when, what was God doing? Why did this happen to me in my life? But the good news is God's carried me through those things, and I'm sure it's the same in your life. There's seasons in our past. We wouldn't want to relive them, but we can see God's hand all over it. We can see God's hand carrying us through those difficult times, those, if you will, those valley times, so those times when we don't feel maybe close to the Lord. We don't feel like we're on that mountaintop experience where everything that we read in the scriptures just comes alive to us, and God is speaking to the situations in our lives. But sometimes there's difficulties. Sometimes life throws those curveballs. Sometimes there's the left hooks, you know, those things that knock us off our feet. But thankfully, those are just seasons. Those are just times for, and I'm learning that more and more in my life as I see God work, is it's an opportunity for God to show his strength and to show his power. And so I've come to the place when I know a trial's coming or I know I'm stuck in a situation, I can't wait to see how God's going to get me out of this. It's actually exciting, you know? Maybe not exciting. Okay. But I'm excited to see God work, you know? And so I don't pray anymore, God, get me out of this. I pray, God, teach me through this. You know, God will get us through. And in fact, you know, the Bible says there's going to be those times when difficulties will come. You know, and we talk about the promises in the Word of God, and there's a lot of good ones. But there's also a promise that Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have, what? Tribulation or trouble. It's a promise. It's not a good promise. We don't have plaques of it on the walls in our homes. You know, it's probably not highlighted in our Bibles and, ooh, that's a good one. No. But it's there to tell us tough times are going to come. You know, I mean, for some of you, traffic was tough getting here to church this evening. You know, tough times come. And if we're not ready, if we're not prepared, if we don't know that those are things that are going to happen, man, we can easily get off track. And so if we know they're coming, if we're prepared each and every day, God help us. Because Jesus goes on and say, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So tribulation will come in this world. One day we won't have it. One day we'll be in our glorified bodies and no more pain, no more crying. We'll be just rejoicing and praising the Lord every second of every day. And that'll be a glorious time. But in this world, we're going to have difficulties. And that's what we find ourselves in now as we look at the children of Israel. And again, we've come out of Egypt. They've gone through the Red Sea. At the end of the Red Sea, parting and crossing over, watching their enemies destroyed. What happened after? Worship service. Moses writes a worship song, and the first worship song in the Bible is Moses and the children of Israel praising God for his deliverance. Praising God. But then 2 weeks ago, we looked at the beginning of chapter 17, and what happened? God led them by the pillar of fire. He led them by the cloud. He led them to Rephidim. And what was there? Or what was not there? Water. And what did they do? They complained to Moses. Oh, what did you brought us out here to die? Not expecting God. Every single day, what are they seeing in the morning? Manna. Every single day, seeing God provide for them, their needs, their sustenance, and yet no faith, no trust in God. Well, when we pick up in verse 8, we're going to find as the children of Israel for the first time come up against a battle. And guys, our life is a battle. Our life has battles all around us. But we're going to see through this battle and the way God works and the way God's power is displayed that as we as Christians can, yes, be in the trenches to fight, but know that God has got our back. God has got our sides. God has got our front. God will protect and take care of these things. And we got to remember, battles belong to who? They belong to the Lord. We can fight all we want. We can get tired fighting. You know, our weapons are not carnal. They're mighty in God. And we need to learn to fight a battle, to win a battle, to overcome in our world, in the life that we live in this world, has got to be on our knees. That's where we win the battles, in prayer, on our knees, beseeching God, asking God, help me through this, God. And that's what we're going to see. So verse 8, let's go ahead and read through verse 13 and kind of get the whole story. And then we'll come back and talk about a few things. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Give me your attention. As I read this story, the first thing that jumps out for me, the first thing I notice is God's children are in a difficult place. These are God's people. These are God's chosen people. And I ask myself, why, God, would you allow Amalek to come and fight against your children? Why would you cause them to come into this place of fighting, of battle? Up until this point, what was it? Stand still, behold the salvation of the Lord. They had witnessed all the mighty plagues and the power of God taking care of them, providing for them, fighting after their enemies. But now God allows them to come into this battle. And I have to ask the question, why? Why do battles have to happen in the life of a believer? Why do we have to experience the pain and the hurt of difficulties in life? We're the children of God. We're heirs to the King. We should be in what? Not sitting on rocks. We should be sitting in lounge chairs. Puffy, you know, what do they call those? What? Beanbag's a good one. Beanbag's a good one. Easy chairs. What is that? Recliner. That's the one I was thinking about. The really comfortable one. Makes you fall asleep when you're trying to watch TV. We're children of the King. We should live in... No, we shouldn't. Because why? If we lived like that, we'd be lazy and fat. We'd be lazy and we'd be slothful Christians. No, God gives us these battles to help grow us and to stretch us, right? And none of us want to do this. None of us want to have to live through this. But we realize that these things happen in our lives. Bad things happen to good people, right? It rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. And who are we to point our finger to God and say why? I mean, there's plenty of reasons. There's plenty of hurt in our life for us to go, why, God? But the mature Christian says, I don't understand it, but I trust you. I don't understand it, but I know you're going to allow this for a reason in my life. And listen, we have trials in our lives, do we not? We have difficulties that come. We pray. That's what the body of Christ is for. I love coming together with the body of Christ and asking, how are you doing with that situation we've been praying for? How's it going in your life? How's your marriage? Is your marriage strong? How's your workplace? Did you get that job? How's your new job? And all these things that we pray for God to do, and we want to work together in these things. That's what battles are for in our lives, to draw us close to God. Listen, Amalek was a descendant of Esau. Amalek was a descendant of Esau, and the Amalekites had become the enemies of Israel. And we'll see it as we go through the Bible, and we'll see it even here. God comes against the enemies of his children. He comes again, and he wants to totally annihilate the Amalekites. And actually, Saul was supposed to completely annihilate the Amalekites, but didn't. And there's so much we'll see that when we don't do what God tells us to do, we have to suffer consequences. We have to suffer consequences. But for the first time, the children of Israel are engaged in warfare. Again, they had watched the works of God. They had seen all the plagues. They had seen God defeat their enemies by drowning them in the sea. They had been provided for their physical needs every single day. Even at Rephidim, Moses with his staff, the rock, and the water came out. God provided. They should come to the point where they're trusting in God. Well, I'm going to give you four reasons, I think, and there's probably more. And that's one thing I want to say before I even get into this. You know, as we read this area of Scripture, there's a lot of spiritual parallels to this. And there's a lot of things that the Word of God can speak to my heart and to yours. And I encourage you as students of the Word of God to study the Word for yourselves. Listen, I'm not the expert. I'm not up here to tell you, you know, this is how you are to apply this Word to your life. I'm saying this is one way that it's applying to my life and that you need to study the Scriptures and let them speak to you as well, because I think that's what mature Christians do. And I just want to say that. Because I see some things here. I see many things here we don't even have time for. But why does God allow these things to happen to his children, number one? I think because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. Let's not forget what happened in verse 2 of chapter 17. As the children of Israel came into Rephidim, they found out there was no water. Verse 2 says, therefore the people contended with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said to them, why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? Why does God allow this battle? Why does he allow the Amalekites to come against the children of Israel? I believe one possibility, listen, possibility, is because they did not trust in God. They were not believing God to care for them. They were not believing God to do things. You see, sometimes these things have to happen to get our attention. You ever have that happen in your life, where you just, Tim shared tonight, listen, God is not mad at us. God does not punish us. I don't think bad things happen to us because there's sin in our lives only. I think bad things happen to us because God wants our attention. And so here we see, because of their unbelief, I believe could be a possibility that the children of Israel say, listen, I need to start believing in the God I serve. I need to start believing and trusting in God to do some things. And what are we going to see is God's power through this story. We see it already. We've read it already. The amazing works of God. I want you here tonight to believe that the things that are going on in your life right now, right here, there's no doubt in my mind that some of you in here are going through a tough time. Some of you are probably even getting to the point where I can't do this anymore. I've only got so much energy to put into this relationship, into this job, into whatever is going on in your life. And you're ready to give up. Don't ever give up until God tells you to move. And it's important. Sometimes these things happen to us for God to get our attention. There's things that have happened in my life. I've shared with you some of those things, both physical and spiritual in my life, and they were wake-up calls for me. They were wake-up calls for me. And they were opportunities for me to see God work in my life so that years later, I was able to minister to someone else. The very same thing that I went through, they've gone through. Guys, what I say this all the time. Whatever you're going through, whatever difficulty you're going through, and whatever God is showing you, God may be doing that for somebody else. May not even be for you. Might be for someone else. Someday, you might know the reason. So it could be unbelief, not a lack of trust. But another one I can't help but wonder is for God's glory. For God's glory. You all know this story. It's in John's gospel. It's in all the gospel, or it's in the other gospels as well. But John speaks about it. It's Lazarus, right? Jesus gets word that his friend Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha, Mary and Martha say, "Hey, your friend Lazarus is sick. You gotta come help." What does Jesus do? He waits. He waits till Lazarus dies. In fact, that's a pretty serious thing, don't you think? You know, you're praying to God to do a work, and then he doesn't show up. When Jesus says this, if you're taking notes, John 11, verse 4. When Jesus heard that, when they were talking about the story, he said to his disciples, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." I can't help but ask myself, am I willing to go through some things in my life that the glory of Christ Jesus would be lifted up? That the glory of God would be raised in my life, through my life, that some experiences that I have? Now ask yourself that same question. Whatever it is you're going through tonight, is it worth the glory of God? Is it worth going through if the name of Jesus is high and lifted up? Gosh, I would think anybody that has experienced the grace of God in their life and their forgiveness of sins in life would say, absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, we are so spoiled. And I don't mean to do this to convict you. I just mean we got to realize the blessings that we have as Christians, listen, in America. We don't realize how many blessings we have that we take absolutely for granted. Air conditioning, if it works. Lights, chairs, not dirt floor, a carpet. I mean, the very things that we just take for granted and we complain about. Well, why is this carpet so dirty? We have a carpet. There's people all over the face of the earth that are having to go into basements, dirt floors, with candles and things to just even read the Word of God or hear the Word of God being read. And I say that to my own conviction as well. We need to realize we are so blessed in this country that, man, if God wants to get glory, I want God to be glorified in my life. I invite God, do to me whatever it is you want to do that you will be glorified. I don't want to be glorified. I don't want my name high and lifted. I don't want my name in lights. I don't want to write books. I want God to use my life to bring his glory, however he decides to do that. I don't know how it is, but I'm going to trust him to do it, not me to do it, for his glory. And then the other one, the man who was born blind. Also, I picked it out of John's gospel, chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, born blind. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?'" To see the mentality, even the disciples had it. Because there was an imperfection, because there was some tragedy in a human life, they immediately can account it to sin. And what does Jesus say? Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed through him." The works of God. Oh, guys, we've got to get this. We've got to realize the glory of God is so important. It's this kind of attitude you must carry with you every single day. Have you ever thanked God for difficulties in your life? Have you ever thanked God for red lights? I thank him all the time for green lights. Thank you, Lord. I didn't want to wait through that light. I'm already late. But I should thank him for red light. I should thank him for everything. I should be thankful to God for the things he allows to happen in my life. For his glory. Number three, and I think this is really important, is to display the power of his presence. To display the power of his presence. God was always with them. He never left them. He was always with them. And we see Moses as he holds up the rod in his hands, that there's victory. They prevail. The children of Israel prevail. And as they were fighting down there, Joshua and some of the other men, as they look up and see Moses holding the rod, which represented what? What did the rod represent? I want interaction here. Power, God's presence. The rod represented God's presence. And as Moses is holding it up there and the children of Israel look up, they see God is with us. God is with us. And when the rod came down, you know, then the Amalekites prevailed. But as long as God was lifted up, as long as the presence of God was high and lifted up and displayed for all to see, man, there was victory. There was victory. I mean, God had over and over again shown his provision, but he was just showing now that he was present with them. Showing them that, listen, this is not something. We got to realize, we can't fight these battles. We can't fight the battles in our lives. We can't fight the battles of our mind in our own strength. We can't fight the battles of the sin that's in around us and in our societies in our own strength. You can try all you want in your strength to stop a sin in your life, but until you give it over to God, until you ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to convict your heart, until you get to that place where you're truly sorrowful for the sin in your life, and until God reaches down and gives you the strength to do it, you're gonna fight that the rest of your life. Give these things to God. Ask God. Mean it in your heart that you want sin out of your life, but ask God to help you. Ask God, and you have to be sincere with it. You know, Paul says in Romans 8:31, what then shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is in your life, is there anything you have to be afraid of? Is there anything you can't do with God in your life? Not anything. God and you are a majority. God alone is a majority. Doesn't even need you. But the presence of God and the power of God in your life are what matter. See, you're a follower of Jesus tonight. I'm assuming you're here on a Wednesday night to study the Word of God. I believe you have the Jesus in your heart. And if you're a follower of Jesus, listen, your life should look different. Your lifestyle should look different. Your life should display the impact that Jesus Christ has had upon your life. And I think sometimes we have to realize all that Jesus really has done for us as Christians. I heard a story on the radio today that this one gentleman who was not a believer overheard two women talking about Jesus, and he ended up giving his life to Christ just by their conversation. It wasn't a Bible. It wasn't a pastor. It wasn't a church. Their conversation about this God, about this Jesus who forgives and shows unbelievable love, was enough for him to go, I want this. And that convicted the tar out of me to think about, if people overhear my conversation, would they be led to Christ? Would they be drawn closer to God? Or would it not even come out of my mind? Would they even not even know I'm a Christian? Think about that, guys. That if truly we've been changed by the blood of Jesus Christ, if truly we believe that his blood washes away all of our sin, and oh, how wonderful that is, why, that should change us in such a way that people know that the presence of God is with us. Holding the rod of the holding up the presence of God to all the world around us. And then fourthly, and again, these are just four things that I came up with. But the fourth thing is to prove dependency upon God. To prove to the children of Israel that they had to depend upon God. Again, as long as the rod was held up, they prevailed. If the rod was not, they were defeated. The presence of God in our lives is so important that we can't live without it. We can't live apart from it. We can't have any hope without the presence of God in our lives. As long as Moses did his job, then God did his job. And, you know, John 15:5, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Our lives will be fruitful. If we're abiding in Christ and he's abiding in us, as long as that relationship is strong. And he goes on to say, apart from me, you can do absolutely nothing. And I know that to be true. You ever know that? Don't you? You just know when you're doing it in your own strength, then things fall flat. But when you're doing it in the power of God, wow, Doors are opened, opportunities are open, and then things happen. I don't know if you've ever experienced, but have you ever experienced this, the strong presence of the Holy Spirit in your life? Maybe you're having a conversation with someone, maybe another Christian or maybe a non-Christian, and you just feel the presence of God. I mean, you're saying scriptures you don't even know you knew, and you're saying things that you're going, how did I say that? You're giving godly counsel, and you're going, where did that come from? And you know, sometimes I feel like, sometimes I feel like I'm not even standing up here. Sometimes I feel like I'm standing and just watching God work because I want his spirit to move. That's what we realize. We're dependent upon God in everything of your life. Your marriage needs to be dependent upon God. Your relationship with your kids needs to be dependent upon God. You know, to be a strong Christian, you need to be dependent upon God working in and through your life. And the children of Israel, the only way they were going to fight that battle was being dependent upon God. Your dependence upon God is your connection to be fruitful. Is your connection to God to be fruitful with the Lord. See, because we can't save ourselves. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to be alive and living in the hearts of believers. To see victory in our lives. And that was just verse 8. I can't even see. Oh, it's already 8. So Amalek comes and fights with Israel in Rephidim. Verse 9, and Moses said to Joshua, first time we hear about Joshua, choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Interestingly enough to me, here Moses, we don't see it in the text, but there's no doubt. Moses is seeking God and seeking the Lord as to what to do. I don't think this was Moses' idea. I think God told him, okay, Moses, this is what I want you to do. Go get Joshua, and I want you to get some guys. We're going to fight. For the first time, we see the children of Israel have to fight their own battle. For the first time, we see the children of Israel are going to have to engage. Up until this point, they've just witnessed God do it. And isn't this important in our lives as Christians? To know when God wants us to stand still and behold his salvation, and those times when he wants us to engage and get into the battle ourselves. We've got to know, guys. We have to have that discernment to know when to fight, when not to. Because if we get our hands into a place where we're not supposed to be, we're going to just slow down the process. We're going to mess it all up. I think God's bigger than it. He works through my mistakes a lot. I'm not saying we need to really be too worried about making mistakes as long as we have a heart for God. But let's seek the Lord and ask him what we should do. He'll show you. He'll give you that peace. He'll give you that direction. He'll give you the confidence to step in. I mean, there's plenty of times I'm like, God, I want you to have this one. And then God goes, no, I need you to do that. And then he gives me the strength to do it. But there's times when he says, no, I got this one, Rob. You just sit still. Watch what I'm going to do. And man, that's a blessing, isn't it? When you don't have to do it, you just see God do it. Because it works out so much better when God takes care of our difficulties in our lives. When God opens the doors, when God closes the doors, we trust in him. It's so important to know that. And Amalek and his people, listen, spiritually are a picture of the flesh. They're a picture of the flesh and sin, okay? And God is always against that, and God's going to fight those battles against sin. And like I said, we don't have the ability to overcome the flesh in our own strength. We have to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Listen, Galatians 5, verse 16 and 17. Paul says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You hear that? Walk in the Spirit, you shall not satisfy the lusts of the flesh. And I don't want to change God's word in any way. But the opposite is also true. If you walk in the flesh, you will not satisfy the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It means to walk in God's ways, honor God's word, be a Christian that seeks after this heart of God and do the things that God wants you to do. Walking in the Spirit, walking in God's ways. As he puts upon your heart, go speak to someone. As he puts upon your heart, I need you to pray for someone. It's living the godly life. That's walking in the Spirit. You know when you're walking in the Spirit and you know when you're walking in the flesh. You know, we get so concerned, oh, what do I do to walk in the Spirit? Stop walking in the flesh is a good start. Don't you think? And what does Paul say we're supposed to do with the flesh? Crucify it. We don't play with it. We don't mess with it. We don't make, you know, give it bandages and try to make it. We crucify it. Every single day of your life, you need to wake up and say, I need to wake up and say, Rob's dead. And I want Christ to live through me. And you need to do the same thing. If you truly want to live a godly life. If you want to walk in the Spirit, you've got to kill yourself first. He goes on. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. That's the battle. That's the battle we're seeing here between Amalek and the children of Israel. The battle between the Spirit and the flesh. It's the same thing we deal with probably millions of times just in this 30 minutes we've been talking about the Word of God. It's that battle. Because I know you've had a hard day at work. Your body's tired. Right? The flesh is weak. Spirit is willing. God, give me the strength to get through this. We haven't even gone to verse 10 yet, and it's already 8 o'clock. I understand the flesh. But see, listen. Have you ever found victory over the flesh? Please say yes. Doesn't it feel good? Doesn't it feel good when you get it? When you go, wow, I had this craving, this fleshly craving that I knew that would dishonor God, that would be a sin. And I asked for God to help me because I didn't want to sin against God because I love him so much because he's done so much for me. And God gave me the strength and I didn't. Wow, that's so good. You know what that does? That builds your faith. That builds your strength. The next time, God, you did it last time. Do it again. Help me out, God. Because that's how we grow. That's how we walk in the Spirit. We go from victory to victory. Paul calls it faith to faith. We keep trusting in God because we can't do it in ourselves. I am so blessed. You're probably going to think I'm weird. But I'm so blessed when people in this body reach out to either me or to others in the fellowship and ask for that. I don't know if you want to call it accountability or just someone to say, listen, I want you to speak into my life. I'm an open book. So I want you to watch what I do. Watch how I act. To me, that shows such maturity. It's like, listen, I'm having trouble doing this on my own. I really could use some help. Not that we're perfect, but we know our flesh. We know our flesh. And I was even talking in a meeting today with a couple of the guys. And it's like, when I counsel with people, it's pretty much always the same thing. It's pretty much always, many of us that are sitting here that are married, you know, we think, well, my marriage is the only one that's going through what I'm going through. It's not. Everybody goes through the same thing. We all struggle with the same stuff. Men, we struggle with loving our wives as Christ loved the church. Women, we struggle as submitting to God, to our husbands as to God. But listen, if we work together, it can be done. And I have a few couples in my life that exemplify a Christian marriage. And those are the ones I focus on, you know? I don't focus on the ones on the news. I don't even watch the news. I have to find out from people what's going on the news. Like, that's happening? I didn't know that. Wow. Why? Because there's no good news on the news. I wish somebody would start a good news channel. You know? But the problem is nobody will watch it, except for the Christians, I hope. But guys, we all struggle with the same stuff. We all struggle with the flesh and the spirit, and it's that battle that we have. And I got to admit it, it's going to be there until God takes us out of our flesh. We're certainly going to get better. I'm thankful I'm not who I was a year ago, 10 years ago. So thank God for that. So those battles are there. But one day, guys, no more flesh. Praise God. No more flesh. Oh, we're going to have to close right here, but listen, verse 10. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. This is the last thought I want to have here. It's good to have other people in your life that are willing to go to the top of the hill with you. Because as Christians, we've got to get to higher ground sometimes. Ever feel like you're drowning in your struggles? You've got to get to that place. And I'm not, if you want, go get on top of a hill. It makes you feel like you're closer to God. It really does. But the location doesn't matter. The location is just getting above your circumstances, getting above the things that you're going, and focus your attention upon God. I mean, I can see the picture in mind. As I look up and as I pray to God, I can see everything else just falling away in the dim. Everything's dimming that I'm struggling with. Everything's dimming that I'm worried about. Everything's dimming that I'm having a tough time with because I'm focusing on the Lord and His strength and His power. And here Moses goes on top of the mountain with a couple buddies that, listen, are going to hold his arms up. Do you have anybody in your life that is willing to hold your arms up? That is willing to see your weaknesses? Because that's what Moses has. He's weak. And he needs some brothers to help hold his arms up. Do you have people in your life that will do that? Are you open enough to invite people into your life that will help hold your arms up and be strong through some difficult times? And then the flip side. Are you someone that can hold somebody else's arms up? And I love what you said tonight, Tim, because it's so true. Because I bet a lot of us, first thing was like, well, I can't do that. That's for Pastor Rob to do. No. Listen. You know what qualifies you to be effective in somebody else's life? Your sin that's been forgiven by the cross of Jesus Christ. If you've truly experienced forgiveness of God, you can encourage someone else that they'll be forgiven as well. And you can hold up their arms as well. Listen, battles come, troubles go. But God's presence is here. God's victory. And what we're seeing here, what all of this we're going to get to, I guess, next week, is Moses, as he's lifting up that rod. Think about that for a minute. I saw several of you do it here tonight. When we worship the Lord, what do? We lift our hands up. It's like, God, I want your presence to be lifted up in my life. That's what we're doing. We're asking God, please. We're showing you gratitude. We're showing you thanksgiving for all that you've done for us. And we just hold our heads. It's an attitude of surrender and worship before God. And it's prayer. That's what Moses is doing. He's interceding for the children of Israel. As Moses prays, they get victory, right? As we pray, we get victory in our lives. And what happens when we do a spiritual thing? We get weak and our arms begin to fail. How many times have you fallen asleep praying? Our flesh is weak. But gosh, we just keep to it. We get back to it and we get people to help us. That's what the body of Christ is here to do. To truly realize the battles belong to the Lord. He calls us to do certain things. Let's trust in Him. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And we thank you for Moses and the children of Israel, Lord, that they are examples for us to know that we can trust in you no matter what. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for being in our worship. Thank you for being in our hearts. Thank you for reminding us through Tim that you love to dwell in places and you dwell in our hearts. Those precious places. In us, God. And I thank you that you reminded me as Tim was leading us in worship and as we considered what you see us as. I thank you, God, that you see us as your Son, Jesus Christ. Because we wear his righteousness, not our own. We love you, Lord. Bless us as we go, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.